Welcome, everyone. This is the GDD Portal User Group Workshop. And I'd like everyone to come sit at the table. There's plenty of room. And certainly the GDD Portal users must sit at the table, please, because we are going to identify you finally.
Could I ask someone in the audience to prop open a door? We had a locked door issue. Thank you. It's an exclusive GDD Portal users group.
Let's get started. It's 4 minutes after five. So this is a interactive workshop. In the true sense of the workshop, there is no formal agenda or no formal presentation. And just so that we give you a quick background, after the GDD portal was launched last year, and we decided that we wanted to have the user feedback in the process of developing our GDD portal. And we have so far have been working with a user group that's made up of 10 members. And the user group have been meeting once a month on a telephone conversation and having feeding requirements, making suggestions, reviewing our frameworks, and also actually beta testing our releases, and they have been invaluable in the process of making the GDD portal more usable for all of you. So, since this is a small meeting, an intimate meeting, what I'd like to do is maybe start out with introduction for everybody who's here. My name is Dennis Chang. I'm the director of the GDD Services and Engagement Program.
Maxim Alzoba, FITED.
And Maxim is a member of the user group.
Valerie, Registry Services, ICANN staff.
Christine Willette, ICANN, new to the group.
Aisha Gutekje, Registry Services, ICANN staff.
Reg Levy, and I am a GDD user in all senses of that word.
Elise Ferguson, top level design, also a GDD user.
Dietmar Lenden, Velodeus, GDD user. I like that word.
Frida Talon.sky, GDD user.
Anybody out there? GDD user, come on up.
So, Dennis, who else usually participates in this user group?
So, in the past, especially in Los Angeles, this was a closed meeting. So, only the user group attended that meeting. And prior to that, in London, we didn't have a user group meeting.
So, you have regular calls, correct? You have regular calls. So who else typically participates?
I'm looking at a recent email that went around, and I've got Anyo, which I'm probably mispronouncing, from Newstar, Crystal from Donuts, Desiree from Dot Uno, Dietmar, Jeanette from InternetX, Ludovic from Mail Club, another Roy from Newstar, Tolga from ff.com.tr, and Leanne. Is she here today?
No, Leanne Champagne's not here.
And Connie Han from IP Mirror. Okay, anybody else want to introduce themselves to the group? No, okay. All right, so the first thing we do is to see if the user group wants to propose a topic of discussion. So let's see what topics we want to discuss.
I think we could talk about the sorting feature. On the GDD portal, it's an option of sorting by fields, and one of the fields is date. And it uses weird ideas of how to sort it. So we could suggest something from our past to resolve it, like from days we were programming things instead of writing papers.
Anything else?
Is there? Oh, sorry.
I didn't understand what that was, so I missed.
This is an issue that we've been having for a while. That the date column does not sort as one would think that it would. So instead of it showing like January 1st of 2015, or rather 2014 as coming before September 1st of January of 2014, it does it in a different order because, or sorry, not September, but October. So it sorts it as ones instead of with the zero in front of it because the zero isn't displayed, and so it's not sorting with the zero. And it's an issue that we know about and that your tech team knows about, and my understanding is that it's in progress.
It might be interesting to know what the roadmap is for improvements and changes on the GDD. Obviously, the working group is trying to assist and help, but if we know what's coming upstream, it might be useful just to be prepared.
I know it's been spoken about, but multi-user logins. I know that's been done, but it would be good to talk about it again.
Yeah, multi-user logins has been an ask for a while. We asked for and received, so thank you all very much, a sortable column view that included the last change that occurred on it, on a case. And whenever I open up my GDD portal, it automatically sorts by that column, which is also very cool. Except that it sorts with the largest number first. So I don't know where that setting is. It's just sort of an interesting bug that I might mention. It takes me, you know, one click to get it the right way, but just.
I'm not too sure if this one's actually been on the working group, but when the information is transposed from the CSC to the GDD, you can't change the primary contact or anything like that without raising a case. The second point is if you save as a draft, so save it and come back, you have to raise a case to change anything that you may or may have made a mistake on. So if you're filling in the onboarding, for example, and you put in my name, and it should have been Reg's name, for example, and I've hit save, come back, I have to raise a case to change that information.
Can you get it? Okay, we're trying to bring up the GDD portal itself so that we can all look at the page together. It seems like we're having a bit of technical problem here. David? Mert?
So Dennis, may I, in the meantime, while we're dealing with that technical difficulty, could I ask my team to come join us at the table? Because I think that there's faces out there who could answer maybe some of these questions. Do you guys all know the GDD ops teams, customer service and operations here? Jeff, you're welcome to join us too. Please.
There's a slight anomaly when if a case has got a response, it says awaiting customer response. And then if you respond, I can't remember how the process worked. If you respond back to the ticket, it still keeps the awaiting response piece in red, even though you've responded, which kind of confuses you a little bit. Well, confused me anyway, because I thought I'd done something and then it still said I was meant to do something.
Another thing, when you sort by status, you have either closed cases or resolved. But actually, the cases which are in progress are between somewhere. So it would be useful to have on one part of scale in progress or open, and on the other closed, resolved in any order, because other way you have to find it somewhere in the middle. Maybe changing letters, A resolves, I'm not sure, but mingling with the name without actually mingling with the algorithm. It could be cheat around.
Dennis, did you capture that? Why don't you go ahead and capture that? So we're getting an issue list. So while we're getting the technical issue settled, how about if we introduce the rest of the GDD team? Oh, please, you got one more.
I just want to say one thing. The changes you have made are good. So this is not a bashing session. It's just there's a lot of stuff that's been put in there, like open cases where you've got a little button at the top and stuff like that and all sorts of other stuff that's great. So, yeah.
Reviewing it, it's all positive. It's no worries.
We're very grateful for all the updates. It does make a big difference.
Yeah, seriously, we're no longer in beta, and that's awesome.
Michaela?
Hi, Michaela Quincy, GDD Customer Service.
I'm Lynette Nardone, Manager GDD Ops.
Yuko Green, another manager of the GDD Ops.
Negar Farzinia, GDD Operations.
Aaron Hickman, GDD Operations.
Hope Schaefer, Customer Service.
Morgan Govars, Customer Service.
Mert Saka, Registry Services.
Jeff Reed, IT.
Yeah, so what I wanted to let you guys all know, you don't see all these people every day, but they are working in the back end of the GDD portal every single day. So when you're filing a case or submitting a form, these are the people who are actually handling it in the background. And also, of course, Jeff is our vice president of IT, and he is responsible for the development team who is providing all these new features for us. Yeah, that's the role. And I think to clarify Christine's role, Christine is in charge of the product management team, who is, like Leanne, who is responsible for defining the requirements to the technical development team. Okay, now what I wanted to do is when we are talking about items that you brought up, actually look at it together so that we all have a clear understanding of what we're talking about. Okay, so let's start with the first item from Maxim.
I think it was about sorting by date. Yeah, date created. So here we have date created. If I now click it, I have two options of like up and down. And we have to have a bit more different dates For example, in my own GDD portal, I have sorting of like something from the previous year, then something from current year, then again something from previous year, because it looks like it sorts like a string of text characters, and it should sort as like Unix data from the beginning of Unix or something.
So
it has to transfer it to the seconds from some moment, then sort it, and then to show the date which we have out of this.
So you needed to sort like a date field and not like a 1 January 2014 shouldn't come before February 2013. Yep.
Got it. And just to clarify, so these types of things, how are we capturing them? I know from the scorecard, from the RYSG scorecard, that there's a tab here, worksheet for GDD portal. Is that where we capture this? Do we have another list? Do we have a defect list? What's the mechanism for this user group?
Since portal is evolving, and for example, feature of sorting by field was added. It was really cool. But also it appeared that the mechanism of sorting of particular field was chosen like strange way, I don't know. So we requested to fix it because other way it caused confusion. So it's minor tweak. It doesn't kill us if you don't fix us, but it's not convenient with such sorting.
Completely understand. It's just a bug. So I'm just asking, how do we capture these? Do we have a document that we capture these in? What does the user group use?
My understanding, and maybe Lynette can speak to this, is that I thought there was one, but I haven't seen it in months. But I'm not trying to put you on the spot. We may have well have just like completed it and not added to it.
This is Michaela Quincy. I believe that Leanne is capturing items as they come up during the meeting. And but I'm not exactly sure like which document she's catching them in. But I know that as I've attended the calls, she's captured new issues and followed up. So.
Okay. So we'll sync up with Leanne. We'll get her list and we'll add these issues to her list if they aren't there already.
Yeah.
Okay.
About multiple users, we cannot. What we have here is just a single contact pair registry, and we would be happy to have few. The reason is. First is bureaucratic. Some guys are allowed to request things or report things, and some guys just allowed to read things. Also, we have technical fields. If we go to TLD, and for example, we see this particular TLD, we click it, and we have, for example, onboarding information or startup information. If someone without proper understanding of the process and proper authorization from the from the company inserts wrong information, it doesn't kill you from the very beginning, but it causes lots of confusion. Lots of time will be spent on trying to understand what went wrong when everything is done up to the form submitted. So it's usually for senior technical contacts to enter this. But in most situations, they are poor bureaucrats. They don't know how to do it properly. So they're not allowed to open bureaucratic cases. So we want to limit them to, for example, these technical fields. So it leads to the creation of a single super user who is most probably the official legal contact of the company, for example, which is logical. He is responsible for things from on behalf of company. He is the official contact legal contact. Because the communication from this person is regarded as official communication with the company. So it's logical to allow him to add and delete users doing something or create change roles for users because he's responsible according to contract.
So, Maxim, what I'm hearing you say is you're not just looking for multiple users to have logins from your entity, from your company to the portal, but that you would like those to have different roles or different security privileges, which limit what those users could do. And ideally, you're suggesting you would like to be able to administer that security, the master user, whatever that type user type is, would administer all of the credentials for your team.
Yeah, because currently only this person actually has access to a GDD portal formally. We have to use his credentials, the whole team.
Are there any other needs for multiple users?
I just have to say, if we do something like that, can we make sure that we have a very simple top account, sub account system, whereas in the top account would... If they wanted to make the sub account, if they wanted to restrict access to some people, then they could create that sub account with that limited access. But not all companies have different people accessing it. Some people limit it to one user accessing it. So if you were to limit those what some accounts can do, and they were all separate, then it would be very, very confusing and very, very time-consuming on that concern. So make sure it's all organized under one said top account, as you previously just said.
So I just actually forwarded you an email that I composed in the session this morning about this because it was brought up in the things that we've learned technical session. There's someone who spoke who is a back-end registry operator for a number of new GTLDs, and he was expressing that each of his customers has, as they should, their own GDD portal, but he doesn't have access to the technical parts of it. And so multiple logins is something that we've been requesting since this first rolled out. But his comment made me realize that there are more granular requirements for some things. Like the ONBIR, my tech guys have my login, so I can't fuck it up. But my customers have their own GDD login, and so when it comes time to complete their ONBIRs, I'm going to have to send them a text file and cross my fingers. So the ONBIR, I realize, is a one-time thing. So I don't know if an ongoing technical thing is going to be necessary. But the request for multiple logins and for being able to send things to the right place is an ongoing thing because, like I say, my tech guys have my login. I mean, they totally don't use my login and my passwords are secure and I never give them out to anyone. But when they send a request, it's going to necessarily be a technical request, whereas when I send it, it's probably way more likely to be policy related. And so distributing those accounts from the get-go could help you guys triage the questions as well, so that you know that I'm not going to be asking, you know, what the DNS, I don't even know. But just as an example.
So, Dennis, you're capturing this? Are you capturing this? So, thank you, Reg. We'll take a look at that note. I was also in the technical operations session, and then I was in the Aero session a couple hours ago. So I think I'm hearing that there are different use cases. There's different scenarios. I can't imagine that you'd necessarily want your back-end service provider seeing all of your cases. So figuring out what part, what aspects of the portal they'd want. So as I was, this multiple user access is on the GDD portal scorecard. But it's sounding like this is not a simple give you three user IDs. This is more complex and security-wise.
One small but important thing. In such situation where, even if more than one, it's a lot, yes? A lot of people are doing something in portal. If you do not have means of tracking who done what, maybe it's a reason to delay the release of multiple users before you have at least internal tool which just writes who done what under which credentials. Because other way we want, for example, be able to understand one of persons from the staff went wrong, did bad things, and we won't be able to understand who changed what and what was changed.
So the portal is on the Salesforce platform. Some custom code on top of the Salesforce platform. But Salesforce does have the ability to log everything you do, every transaction. So if we're not already logging all of the interactions through the portal, it certainly is a capability. So I appreciate that, yes, security and the administrative logging of activity would be important. So thank you. I think we're getting better understanding. Before we go down to implementation, we'd have to have more interviews and talk to you all about use cases and scenarios.
Yeah, and I mean, this is new for us as well, so we appreciate that we're, well, at least I appreciate that the multiple user thing, which was one of our very first asks, is a massive undertaking. And throwing this wrinkle onto it is probably going to multiply that, because we're not just saying multiple people who can log into the same stuff, but multiple people who can log into completely different stuff. That said, it is my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong, that the GDD portal is envisioned to become a repository for registries where they can do everything. So, for example, currently we have the the RCEP login, and I don't know what it's called. And we have some other things that are registry-specific, and that there is a plan for everything to come in under the GDD portal, which I think is good, because it's good to have a central repository. But with that end goal in mind, if these kinds of granularity are put in now, then they're going to save massive time on the other end.
So good point. If I may segue to one of the other items, the second item was the roadmap, and to talk a little bit about that, because yes, there is a plan to merge these disparate portals. You've got the new GTLD applicant portal, you've got the GDD portal, now you're going to have Eros. I haven't actually seen where they can access and request an RCEP and how that looks, but they're all on Salesforce with Salesforce behind the scenes, but there's different technologies that they're built on. So one of the things on Leanne's roadmap is getting them all onto the same technical implementation within Salesforce, and there's some new capabilities that have been launched in the last year for Salesforce, so we want to make use of that technology. So as we look at replatforming, but merging them, we'll look at all of these requirements to see what makes sense before or concurrent with or after that we build that synergy between them all. So a little bit more about the roadmap. If you weren't in some of the earlier sessions, I gave an update to the GNSO, I think, on Sunday morning. And what I committed to was providing a roadmap, and Leanne will share with you within 60 days. That is at least an 18-month roadmap out. So through FY16, we're in the midst of our FY16 planning now. So we're working with IT and all of the business groups and with the input of this user group to gather those requirements for that roadmap. One of the things that I mentioned that we have as a strategic item is to bring registrars onto the Salesforce platform. So to migrate them off of Radar and onto Salesforce, once that's done, then we're looking at migrating the compliance functions off of their current system, Kayako, onto Salesforce. So then registries, registrars will all be on a single platform. And then customer service and the operations and support teams will all be able to support everyone together, contracted parties together.
Thank you for bringing that up, because I know that I'd heard that and I'd forgotten that I had. A warning that this will be an ask when that becomes available, that vertically integrated registry registrars will want to give access, like, for example, I'm compliance for both. So I'm going to not want to log in with two different ones, which is fine. Just know that that's coming when you move registrars over here. I will do it if I have to. But
no, you've got your company who has Minds and Machines, for anybody who doesn't know. You have both a registry and a registrar organization. So actually, Michaela's team has been undertaking some work to clean up the account hierarchy. We migrated from DHAS, remember the old application system? We migrated and imported a lot of the history there into Salesforce, and we've been operating under the burden of a lot of that legacy data. So her team has been working to clean that up. But part of that cleanup also is putting the right account structure. I mean, you guys all have CRM systems. You know what this, you know, Reg, I don't want you at the application level I don't want three Reg Levy contacts. I want one Minds and Machines account and one Reg Levy, and then you see everything you're supposed to see. We're not there yet, are we? but that is the direction. I think it's going to take, and I would ask maybe Michaela if you could, or you're someone from your team, be engaged in this user group to talk about that effort, because I think it's going to take working with the contracted parties to get that account structure right. Donuts has one structure, Google has another. So we've got a lot of different organizational structures, and we want to get the right contacts at the right place. And I think if we do that, that will ultimately help with the security model, and it'll help us when we do merge these portals so you get visibility to what you need. And Maxim has had his hand.
Two small notes. First, is it possible to make a registrar and registry backgrounds of the system of different color? Because it will give me instant understanding of where I'm going to open or read case. Because it's important. Or maybe different style of text, like italic versus plain, so you visually can see. And for those who have issues with colors, maybe just some color which will be seen as gray instead of white for them. It's an issue, because some guys, they cannot distinguish some colors. So, it happens. It would be extremely useful to understand instantly what are you going to do where. And the second thing, working for registrars, we have few, it's they have even more complicated structural stuff. So it could be a good idea to discuss a data design idea, like you suggest structure of data. So because this stage is easier to do on paper. And it saves a lot of time, because if you put in design of system wrong hierarchy of data, it will haunt you for the rest of the life of the system. It's not curable.
We're in a slightly different position. So I'm from Valadeus, so we have a whole load of clients that are registries. They're brands. So it would be quite nice to have is a single portal for us, which has all the brands in it. And then the brands would have the ability via a multi-user process to get access to their own one and see that separately.
I second that motion.
There we go. That would be, yeah, quite nice.
Sorry, Fairwinds? No?
Bright's Consulting.
Maxim Azova. Also, in the case of multiple different brands, it's extremely important to ensure that it's better to show nothing at all than to show the case of one customer to another. It's so complicated on so many levels. It's worse than security. Then even to the stage where if you see something happen like this, you just shut down the whole account. It's cheaper in terms of money.
So, understood. And I think we're quite aware that we've got a number of consultants that are in a similar role. That's a complicating factor to the whole architecture. Yeah. So, but understood. So I was just speaking of the roadmap in general. So we've got, and I think Leanne talked about this at the last portal users group, we're trying to tackle some foundational items that will allow us to implement more scalable solutions, move more rapidly, and then really be prepared once we bring on registrars and compliance. With this roadmap in mind, the idea is we can't continue to just add new requests to the front of that, and otherwise the whole roadmap will just delay and get further along. But a lot of the things that I'm looking at the GDD portal scorecard, so I think you'll see a lot of these features on the roadmap in one way, shape, or form when you do get that. Any other questions on the roadmap before we move on?
I'm kind of curious on, and this kind of goes in another direction, so if it strays too far, please do let me know. The process of assignment, and actually when you do an assignment, you transfer those contacts. How does the GDD portal come into play? Because I know I've asked this question before, and I was basically told, well, we would just manually do everything through email for the current time. We're looking at development in the future, but nothing has been developed so far.
Okay, so I'm going to give you the real answer. In the meantime, the process, that is the real answer. We need you to email us and open cases. But the challenge is that we're still dealing with the legacy implementation, that a lot of the attributes of, you know, we have a database, we have an application object, we've got a registry object, we've got a TLD object. A lot of the attributes about the registry are really looking at the application, and we don't have all the right relationships built in standalone data where we need it to be. So in the case of assignments, when an assignment is from one entity to another, we don't have the database structured in a way that facilitates that very easily. So it's very manual, very manually intensive. So that is part of the foundational items and some of the data model adjustments we need to get fixed so we can scale. So, did I?
Yeah.
Okay.
I just pulled up the service requests tab. because it's new, and I wanted to say thank you. I'm starting to see the consolidation, and it looks like it's going well. But there is no TLD column in that tab. And I just confirmed by opening a couple of them that they are actually, I mean, when I make service requests, I have to do it by TLD. So just sort of a feature request, putting it out there. It's obviously not super important, but.
Can you explain, Max, to you?
To be short, here we see.
No, not there.
Not here?
Scroll up.
It will in a few seconds.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. And then just click on service requests. Perhaps there are none in this account.
No, I opened like new. Yeah, there is no TLD.
Right, so just like in there.
Yeah, here we see no TLD, but if we go to cases, we will see sort field by TLD. And in case you have more than two, like we, when you have a few hundred, it's
right. And so for single, for registries that are single registries, that's not going to be necessary. But for their registry operator, I don't think there's anyone out there who is a single registry operator. I could be wrong, and if so, power to them. But if the registry operator is going to have access to service requests, and I would imagine that they should at least be able to view them, then that is going to be necessary, because otherwise the R-40 that I'm seeing on my screen is slim to moderately helpful.
Also here we see no TLD too.
So what you're requesting is a column showing the TLD? I see.
And it's a necessary field when I open up this particular request. I see service name, TLD, start date, end date. I mean, there's like some requirements in there. So it's a field that exists. So it shouldn't be too horrible to implement.
Yeah.
But
But it's something we'll have to take into account as we look at the different user profiles, use cases that look at data and look at reporting across TLDs.
Yeah, so I was just going to say, Christine, sorry to interrupt, but there probably will be some service requests that will not have a TLD as a requirement. So there may be some that will end up being blank, but I don't think it's a big deal to add the field. But.
Yeah, I think that the occasional blank one would be fine as long as I can sort the rest of them.
Okay. Max, do you want to show something?
No.
So, looking at the topics, we cover the sorting feature by dates, roadmap, multi-user login, sortable column view. What is that? Was that Reg? Who?
Sort by column view. You mean the date column? I believe that all of the columns are sortable. Yeah, I'm sorting by all. Oh, you mean the days since last change auto column thing? Is that what it's talking about?
No, I think we got that something else.
Status.
Okay, status. Somebody else wanted to talk about.
Me.
Oh, yeah, that was number six, awaiting customer. Let's talk about that. So awaiting customer response stays red. Can you show us what that?
If it's a test account, no. If it's a test account, you're probably not going to see it. But I think my team's pretty aware of that. Anybody want to talk to that?
Let's see. Okay. Is there? There's.
About this.
Okay.
Have you talked about this sorting about status? Because if you have a real account with lots of cases, when you sort one way, you see closed on the top. When you sort the other way, you see resolved on the top. And new cases are in the middle. Given that we have few hundred cases. after half an hour, half a year, we have to find the place where in progress hides.
So that was an ask early on, and the explanation that we were given at the time was that sorting by anything but alphabetical was possible, but difficult. So that's why we have the orange button up there, so that you can just click that, and then you can see what's in progress, or what's red, awaiting customer response. And also the days since last changed, because ones that have been recently closed will appear in that column. I know that you still want it, but...
I think I know the solution. We call in progress and unresolved, and it goes up. Of a letter.
I know you still want it. I'm just saying.
So, Maxim, I think that addresses, I know it's not the ultimate solution, but at least you see the open cases.
Yeah, but still, if we don't do something, then sorting by status it won't be used.
Well, that way you see the open, and then you can sort.
I meant that the feature of sorting of status field in reality...
There's still three... ways to sort. There's still three possibilities in this view, and so you should see my GDD portal sometimes. It doesn't always fit on one page. So there's in progress, there's new, and there's awaiting customer response. So the sort field is still useful even in this view.
Yeah. Anyway, if it's too long, we just let it as it is.
So is there a request that I should capture?
No, so I've done this many times. One, new, two, pending, three, whatever. You number them, and then it sorts that way. It's not rocket science. So plenty of ways to get that done. Okay, got it. Understood.
The question about that open response is about...
I remember when we implemented that and it didn't quite function the way we envisioned. Does anybody want to talk about that? The red awaiting customer?
Michaela Quincy. The idea behind that would be that once you responded, that the status would change to something actionable by ICANN and SHO both in the portal and internally. It's a known issue, and Leanne has that one tracking as well.
I mean, it would be helpful not just in what I call inquiry cases, but in process cases. You know, sometimes, whether it's an RSEP request or some other service function we need to perform, sometimes we need information from you, and then it would be nice to know that we have that, and now it's back in our court. So tracking that also, we want to track the time in each stage, so that'll also help with SLAs. Single portal agent for all clients, was that the from the consultant view?
Yeah.
Can we talk about this one? Mentioned briefly, CSC to GDD. You are saving something, and you're coming back, and it's not saving. Can you get into a little more detail?
It is actually saving, but it won't let me change what I've saved. So it brings the data from the CSC into the GDD, which is great. And then I'll go to the registry contact information tab, and I will start filling in some data. So it's the top one, the registry contact information, yep. And then if you go into that and start filling in some data and then click on the tab that says save, just fill in anything.
So it saves it, but you can't go back and change
correct.
It.
Correct, yeah.
You want to be able to change it until you submit it.
Yes.
I second that one, too.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I've got one that's currently saved in mine if you want to take a look at how it looks.
So you can't do anything with it, unfortunately, other than raise a case. So.
I think it should be possible to save without having any data in the required fields, because maybe you only have information for the first two things, and then you save it and have to go to a meeting or something.
There's a lot of required fields.
I don't understand why the inquired fields won't let you go back and change it, but you can change the fields that aren't required at any time. So, I mean, if you need the important information, I'd rather be able to change that and give you the important information, and then when ICANN comes back and tells me to change my emergency contacts, and I can't do it, and I have to submit another case, it's just copy paste each single individual cell until you get everything lined up correctly. It's easier to just have. Sorry.
Yeah, I just wanted to ask a question. When you're filling out this screen, do you use the reference contact function?
I only use reference, but when I have several brand clients that all have. I'll be honest, a very similar role account but different email, it doesn't exactly help that well because it's still something I have to repeat for several dozen brand clients all the time. So
thank you.
It's time consuming.
And if you use that role option, you have to raise a case basically to change the email address for the next client. So if you have one, so I've got 7 TLDs and one GDD portal. So if I say, yeah, cool, I'm going to use, because most of the data is exactly the same, contact email address and maybe the telephone number might be different. And so if I use that information from the previous TLD that's been entered, the email address comes across. So if I try and change that email address, it won't let me do that because you can't use the same email address, for example, for CZDS. You have to have a different email address for each one, which would be quite nice to have one single one, sorry, but that's a different topic. That's not part of this conversation.
Before we go to CZDS, this is not ONBIR. This is contact.
Can I ask a question? How many TLDs do you have left to complete this form?
About 22.
That's fair. Because I've got like 4 left, and I noticed this, and I was just like, okay, but I'm not going to bug him about it, but okay.
It's what I usually do this, late at night, a very large cup of coffee, and just wait, have 4 hours to kill, so.
Aaron, were you the role contact? Was that like a lookup?
Yeah, the reference contact at the top, it's sort of grayed out. It's above the saved successfully. It's in that gray box. Allows it allows the selection of a previously saved TLD, which would then populate this, or at least that's the way it's supposed to work. So that if you said, well, I have .auction or whatever, and I want them all to be like .auction, you can pull .auction in, and then it would fill everything in.
But you need to be able to edit
the whole thing.
So if you bring that information in, you then can't edit it in any way, shape, or form.
Oh, no, understood. I didn't know that when I asked the question, but and it should. I thought in the early days that actually was fixed, but I guess maybe not.
No, I tried.
Okay.
It also sometimes doesn't bring in all of the information from the other TLD that I'm copying from, and it will also, there are a couple bugs in that, which if you're interested in knowing about them, I can show you, but... Again, it's kind of like a one-time use for a TLD, so it didn't occur to me that it would be worth bringing.
I just remembered something. I've done a lot of CIRs, which were the old-style CIRs, so they didn't have the billing contact, they didn't have all the other contacts. So that comes across, and the billing contact, I can't change. It's blank. So again, that's one of those that could be interesting.
And also the legal contact, correct. I think, because it's grayed out. It's
correct.
Yeah, too. So
yeah.
And most probably different companies have different legal contacts.
Just a quick thing regarding the legal and the primary contact. Those information is extracted from the CIR form when you first submit the application. So it is understood that when you put your application for a given TLD, the contact is chosen at that point in time for your legal and registry primary contact. And that being the case, if you do have legal contacts for different TLDs, they would be noted in the CIR when you first submit the application. And if, of course, in the future there is a need to change the legal contact, everybody's allowed to do that, but it won't be editable because that's where the data is coming from.
That doesn't mean it was a good design.
Actually, you can edit legal contact via fax, DHL, and phone notice, I think, and something else, and email, yeah. It's a procedure.
I mean, really, I mean, we know we have to capture a lot of data up front. We need to populate it. If you can't edit it, I mean, that's crazy. But we do need to look at what do we want you guys to modify. Is there a reason to control certain data? Do we need to know if the legal contact or an emergency contact changes? Maybe there's things that we need that to propagate to other systems. There could be control reasons. But then I think, and we've talked, one moment, we've talked a little bit internally about potentially having you guys submit, I don't know if it's this exact form, but submit the requested changes, even if we have to do something to it to approve it or to process the change. You could enter it, submit it, and then we say it's applied. So it's just something we've talked a little bit about internally, but trying to figure out how to do all that. So thank you. Go ahead.
It's a strong reason for legal contact to be non-editable because in the design of our contract itself, it says that the only means to change it is offline and it requires paper and fax and email. But the financial contact, it's not mentioned explicitly in the agreement, as I remember.
Right. So there's a very good reason it's in the contract. Yeah. And then I mentioned, I know we're out of time, but somebody brought up in another meeting. Oh, it was the other user group? Okay, in the chat. The question came up earlier this week in the scorecard conversation about to bring to our awareness that there's some billing issues, that the contact information that's being maintained here isn't making its way to the financial system. So they are not systemically integrated. They are two different platforms. They have been procedurally integrated, but evidently not consistently. So we're going back, sorting that out. We'll get that data corrected.
Is that data pulled from the CIR, or are you pulling it from the GDD? Because the CIR, the new CIR, gives you a billing contact. So if you're on an old CIR, you won't have a billing contact. So it's going to give you, I don't know what information you would use, but if it's GDD, then that'll be fine. But I'm just curious which portal it's coming from.
Yeah, it would come from the GDD portal. Yeah.
So we've got one question online.
In the Adobe chat room, Rieke Pope from that one, he or she, I don't know, have two comments and one question. The first comment is for context. It would be, sorry. It would be nice if you didn't have to save every time you have added data for one contact. It would be nice to type several contacts and save once. And the second comment is also, I am annoyed. It is so hard to change the contacts once they are saved. And the question is, would it be possible to create a separate menu to manage contacts? Manage your contacts, sorry. Would it be possible to create a separate menu to manage your contacts?
So if there's 22 different roles here, pick, you know, and manage the contacts separately from, you know, so maybe there's only 5 people and you just have to pick which one goes here. So
yeah, managing contacts. We had discussed that in one of the other one of the sessions about it, saying that'd be a far more effective way to kind of deal with the problem.
Was that entailing perhaps creating a role, creating an account? I mean, creating a role account? For example, if I have five people, or maybe even one or two people, but I just want to create the same person again, just with a different set of phone number or a different email, would that be possible too?
Well, the system has some limitations in terms of duplicate information. For example, like, you know, for a login, that has to be unique, and that's typically the email address. So there definitely are some things that you can't necessarily do, but if you can create the same user and then just say this person has these five roles, they're the billing, the primary, the emergency one, or technical, or whatever, then it's a lot easier to manage versus putting in 22 things in this sort of interface.
So question for my team. Can the registries can't just add contacts. They have to add them in this kind of a form. So if you could just add John, Mary, Michael, Paul, and you add all their name, address, phone number, email, someplace, and then you came to this form, and you picked John, Mary, Michael, Paul, John, Mary, Michael, Paul.
Exactly.
If you've got multiple TLDs in one GDD portal, that little icon, so if you see billing contact, blank space, then that little thing, yeah, little magnifying glass, if you click on that, you can actually pick a person from a previous account. Yeah. But obviously, you get to the same problem that you can't edit it. So, yeah. But so there's a way there already.
All very reasonable requests.
I have a question that's not related to contacts. At the very top, there's four tabs, and one of them is work items, which specifically relates to the startup of a TLD. And my question is, are there plans to deprecate that tab in the future?
Or will there be more work items in the future?
We have a little internal debate. Work items, service requests, what is preferable? Work items are more aligned to startup. Service requests are asking us to do something. Do you want more work items?
May I give some input?
No.
My understanding of work items when they existed initially was that it looks better at the top to have three tabs than only two. And because I can only access work items when I'm already in a TLD, and when I'm already in the TLD, I have my work items listed. So there's, from my standpoint, literally no reason for the work items tab. But now that we have a services request tab, the three is fulfilled. And in the future, when there might be a compliance tab or a Eros tab or what have you in the future, then it would make sense. Because see, it's gray. It's gray everywhere unless I've selected a TLD from the TLD tab. And if I've selected the TLD from the TLD tab, I have a list of my work items on that tab. So.
But you don't have a list of the service requests for that TLD?
Not yet.
So is that just a universal? It's like cases? I thought it was coming in with filtering, but maybe not.
Sorry, what's coming in with filtering?
The service request is not filtered by TLD. When you're in the TLD, it doesn't show you those service requests.
Stand by.
Just a quick logistical note. I know the time's up, but we're happy to continue the conversation.
Currently, no. I know that we saw a preview of like the next rollout of changes, and they were there. But I don't know if that hasn't been implemented yet, or if it was implemented and it's not working, or if the service requests that I have are not tied to a TLD in the way I think they are.
Well, they should. You had it like ERPs and stuff, right? So those should be tied to TLDs, yeah.
So Dennis, if, oh, sorry, one more thing, Max.
One question about the, when information from the points of contacts pulled for accounting department, how often it's pulled by the system they use? Because usually they issue invoices, I'd say, after the quarter ends. So you need to be able to pull it at least four times a year and not once.
Yeah, I know the accounting team's working with IT on that to make that more structured, and definitely would have to occur before the quarterly cycle.
Before they send the invoice.
Right. So yeah, not after the quarter, but before the quarter.
The biggest issue is when one of the customers is receiving an invoice for the other. It creates lots of troubles.
So we have billing, like the RPM billing for new TLDs. That happens. It's supposed to happen weekly. So, you know, we'd like to get that data pushed from Salesforce to our financial system weekly. So we won't wait for the end of the quarter to clean that up. So it's 10 past the hour. So let's, to bring this to conclusion, two things. One was, do you want to, I know you guys, we all have, I'll now participate when, as much as I can, in the portal user group meetings. So we do this monthly by mm-hmm. phone. Do you want to do this at the ICANN meetings? Yeah. I know there's always, we're always so busy. Is it worthwhile to do this in person as well?
I think it is.
Yeah. But sometimes there aren't people that, join the call, for example.
Yeah.
To sit around.
Yeah. It gives us a chance to laugh.
I was just talking to somebody about why I think that it's still worth it to show up to ICANN meetings, and one of it, the reasons is to look you guys in the eyes, and vice versa. There have been studies that have been done about how easy it is to dehumanize people who you only interact with on the internet, and so I think it's really helpful to rehumanize. But that said, I'm kind of 50-50 about this particular one.
So I also mentioned in another session that I'm going to be talking with Leanne and my soon-to-be other product manager to be hired to talk about how we expand the scope of this user group or if we need to create a separate user group so we can talk about CZDS requests and other requests for other systems. I'm sure Eros will come up. So whether it should be the same user group or not. So think about that. We can take it up at the next meeting. But just didn't want you to think I'd forgotten about that.
Okay, then. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Thank you.